I'm not wasting my time with that. You know, yeah. My father, that would just be a curious thing. Look, I'm fucking the dark soul. I'm dealing with the history of humanity. I'm not stuck in a nuclear family. I don't have a nuclear family, so to speak.
Well, it'd be interesting to know.
I don't even know if I was really born through them since I'm 10 million years old, you know?
Right.
I don't even know what they are.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ian makes a big deal out of my mother more than him.
Yeah.
And she was, all I remember her is that she had a great sense of humor. She laughed at my jokes or the way I acted. She's laughing all the time. I amused her. And that was nice that someone had a reasonable sense of humor about it. And but she had no ideas. She lived, Ian goes on about how she lived the same ritual every day, and this was a great move in the 20th century. Just do the same simple things every day. Simplicity kept her shit together.
And she knew what Renee was up to.
A little bit, but she showed no interest in it. She didn't have a fucking clue. She acted like she didn't have a clue. She just did her job as a butler person in a maid. What do you call her? A matron. You know, just like Downton Abbey. She had to look after the dress, the matroness, the wife of the lord.
Oh, I bet she knew a lot.
Yes, that's a good point. She's listening to the conversations that the lady of the house has with all kinds of people, including on the phone. Holy shit, what she heard, you know?
Yeah.
And she knew not to say anything about it. You can't. She said, I'm living in a house of spies, so I'll just keep my mouth shut. You didn't know who were double agents. Is that right, Ion? Are we on the right track describing her? Did we drive Ion away through boredom? He hates humans talking. He hates human talk. Well, Ion's going to say something. He's trying to say something. Unmute yourself, Ion. Well, we'll just have to wait till he gets energized. So what are you saying? He might be in the bathroom or eating something. Let's get back to the book or not. Or am I more interesting than the book?
Well, your mom, I'm thinking of the scene in Downton Abbey, Bob, where one of the men of the household got an affair with one of the housekeepers and got pregnant or something. You know, your mom had to monitor the whoring that was going around in the house.
Yeah.
Cover up the.
As far as I knew, she was not a loose woman. She was very faithful. Exactly like the couple in Downton Abbey. Remember the older, mature leader of the women maids? She marries the guy that I say is my father. They would have gotten married younger, but they were like, you know, normal civilian, what do you call them, civilians with morals and that, you know. Superiority complex, almost. They weren't running around like everybody.
They were practical. They were supervisors of the household.
Yeah,
she was
they represented the civilization of integrity. They knew they held the world together.
Yes, yes.
At least their world.
The practical managers.
Yeah. And, you know, it was interesting, I remember my mother's a sense of humor. When I did talk to her through the Evergreens, my mother said about Carolyn that she really liked Carolyn's sense of humor. So my mother was into humor.
Perfect.
Hmm.
And Carolyn had a good sense of humor. My mother, you know, complimented it. Ion, any comment on the parental dynamic? Now, there's a little red vibration coming out of it, but that just could be his body moving around doing something. But he's not speaking. So let's go into the next part. We're trying to figure out what they're now. Why is Ion making this? They are trying to, at the top of the page 101, it says, do tell us all about, as we want to hear all about. So this is about somebody. So we've had the first four pages that dealt with the themes of whatever they were, and now we're getting into who's the main guy, or what is the main guys. So it says, what full pride, Paul Poison, how much did I read? Yeah. What full pride, Paul Poison, and the spy of three castles, or which hate-filled smiley seller? And that such a vitriol of venom, that Queen's head a franchisant, a quiet stinking plaster zeal could cover prepostered or postpaid. The lounge lizards of the pump room had their 9 days jeer, and pratch cats at their platch pails too, and holum polandum beside. Spaz, paz, spizmaz, the zany zonies, when, still believing in her Owen glass, when eyesars were twinklings, that the upper reaches of her mouthless face and her impermanent ways were the better half of her, one nearer him, dearer than all, first warming creature of his early morn, bondwoman of the man of the house, and murmur of all the Makovics, she who had given his eye for her bed and a tooth for a child, till 1-1 and 1-10 and 100 again, that's your 111, O me and O ye, cadet and prim, the hungry and angreen, and if she's older now than her teeth, she has hair that is younger than thine, my dear. So this is, now we're going into page 102. So it's describing his wife. She who shattered him after his fall and waked him widowed, despairing, and giving him keen and made him able and held a dizzilus to each arch of his nose. She who will not raster from her running to seek him till, with the help of the Okiamic, some such time that she shall have been after, hiding the crumb bins of his enormousness in the are you looking for Pulvar Sea. Now, in Greek mythology, they talk about the gods before the gods, the giants. I forget what they're called, the Aeon people. They're this huge. This is like describing a huge early god in Greek mythology, or the Titans they were called, the Titans before the gods. Some such time that she shall have been after hiding the crumbins of his enormousness in the are you looking for Pearl Farsee, Uria, she stood forth, burns bun the gorgony old Danworld, in Gogor's name for Gagar's sake, dragging the countryside in her train, finnickin here and funnickin there with her Louise Queen's brogues, and her colander buzzle and her little bolero boa, and all in 2 times 20 curly cornies for her headdress. Specks on her IU and spuds on her eye, which would be ear, and a circus fix riding her Parisian's cockneys. Avaunt her straddle from equerry Egon, when tink-tink in the church close clinks stepla jazzima Sunday, sola with pawns, prelates, and pukas pilloting in her peach bag, for handyman the chomp, a squirrel bispass to crush the slander's head. Now, she's always defending her husband's reputation. So I don't remember, we did 179, we did the guy, and his fight, and he got beat up, but we've done the guy, now we're doing the woman. So that makes sense, and this is, has key descriptions, of her that scholars quote. Like, they say her number is 111, and that's down here. For a child to 1-1 and 1-10 and 100 again, to 111. So that's where that's stated. I didn't know that on 101. So, anybody have anything to say about it? What we just read in a description? Are you all looking at it?
Yes.
It's just really amazing the detail as it comes to, I mean, so many words are about this descriptive, the description of her being. That's just what was kind of remarkable. I mean, it's not the interaction, but the little constellation of these people in and of themselves that seems to take up a lot of time.
I mean, human experience time?
just in his words, in the paragraphs. I mean, all of that was really kind of what was in her purse, how she came in on Sunday, all of the, how many different ways he maybe talked about her earring or a pin in her hair or, I can imagine how much he researched into understanding men's and women's fashion and how it's, with the significance and how it was worn. I mean, just really, the details astounding, really.
Right, and remember, he was using Encyclopedia Britannica. He just could copy it out, but he had to take time to read it all. My father read the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it just occurred to me for the first time, maybe he heard that from Joyce, so he did it. You know what I mean? That's maybe why he did it. He read the whole thing.
Wow. Really?
You know, in his leisure, yeah. So I just realized he fucking got that idea from Joyce. Joyce told him.
Wow.
So
maybe so he could break the, maybe so he can understand Joyce's mind and break the code or something.
You know, it's like Nelson Thal. You know, he was a big, very involved in the Kennedy assassination research. He met a lot of the researchers. He was a part of releasing the Pruder film. He got it broadcast in Windsor, Ontario, I think, if he's not lying, in 75 when the public first saw the Zapruder film. It had to be done in Canada near the border for Americans to see it. But later I told him that McLuhan had made remarks on the Kennedy assassination and he really, you know, bonged his head. What the fuck? I could have talked to McLuhan all about the Kennedy assassination. I thought as a young person that you wouldn't talk about that kind of stuff to a professor. You know what I mean? So he had the wrong image and he missed his whole opportunity to talk to McLuhan about the Kennedy assassination, just as I missed the opportunity to talk to my father about all this stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
So the
but you can.
yeah, but I can talk
he
to
didn't
Ion.
Like you. He didn't like you very much, Bob.
He didn't understand me. I know. He didn't understand me. I was fucking. He told me when I was young. That we were listening to a radio show about what do you call these guys that run around? Gigolo. We're fucking listening to it, and it's a story. Of course, it's a bad gigolo, and he gets arrested and put in jail. And after the show's over, my father turns to me and says, "That's what you're going to be, a gigolo." That was the most insulting fucking thing.
Wow.
Oh, Bobby. Who the fuck would say that to me? That really shows he didn't like me.
And the problem is that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. He was a prophet. That's right. Carol still hasn't figured it out.
Oh, but she knows. She knows about you and your little togs. She knows.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't go into that. That's another story. But anyways, you're right, Ion. He didn't like me. I mean, look, he was a responsible guy. What the fuck was I? I was pretty bad. I was hanging out with Reiner Gale and all the bad Nazis, for fuck's sake. He didn't approve of that.
Can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. No. No, we can't.
What do you mean, no, Ion?
Well, if you knew, why are you asking?
I was just checking to see if you were ready for my ears.
Oh, maybe.
What do you mean? What are you doing, Brendan?
I just been cutting deer up all day. It's hunting season, so. But did you watch the show, Pop?
What show?
The movie.
Which one?
The Bethlehem. Bob going to Bethlehem.
Oh, yes, I watched the Subgenius documentary. Yes, I did, and it wasn't that good.
I know. Didn't it suck?
Yeah, it actually sucked.
It was horrible, and they didn't give you any props. They didn't bring up anything about Uncle Ion.
No, they knew nothing about the real stuff. And I offered $10,000 to them if they let me be in the thing. But they didn't, so they fucked up.
Yeah, they really fucked up. They really botched that whole thing up.
Yeah, There's a lot. Let's talk about that another time or later tonight. But yeah, I agree with you. You have to look at it just to see who the characters are. But the overall drift of the movie, they had a stupid woman direct it. You know, I think the woman influenced.
Oh, that Bonnie or whatever her
Sandy Boone
name was.
Sandy Boone.
Yeah, Boone.
I watched the director's cut. Did you watch that? Where they're looking at it. You don't see it, but they're talking about it, and it goes on for
a
couple hours.
Yeah, and they still didn't give you guys props of what's
That's
going
right.
on. It's like, what the hell?
Okay, anyways, back to this point. In question number 9, they ask about, what the hell is this book? What is this thing? And the answer is a kaleidoscope. So it's a kaleidoscope, but it's spelled C-O-L-L-I-D-E, collide, or scape. Collide or scape or kaleidoscope. And you look up on page 143 what's embedded in the word kaleidoscope, because, you know, you're talking about Finnegan's Wake as a crazy quilt. Well, it's called a kaleidoscope, and it's 9... So he has here, that's weird, 145, oh, I'm on 145, it's 143. Kaleidoscope, it says collide or escape. You collide or you get the hell out of there. Collide or escape. And it talks about the bottle hitting Tim's head. Gerard Manley Hopkins' poetry called Inscape. So that's all they have, kaleidoscope and collide or escape. So if you want to see the description of the book, that's page 143. There's a question. Okay, so what are we doing? 102. So anybody else have anything to say?
I thought it was interesting, the phrase tooth for a child. That was interesting. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, where is that? Is that the bottom of 101?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She who had given his eye for her bed and a tooth for her child.
Yeah.
She gave a tooth to somebody in order to have a child.
It said child-bearing women were said to lose a tooth for every child as a consequence of calcium loss.
How did you know? Where do you read that?
Where'd you get that?
If I roll over tooth.
Oh yeah, you've got it right there.
Right.
It says in the annotation, it says breeding mothers said to lose a tooth for every child. Right, so that's a folklore.
Mm-hmm.
She had given his eye for her bed and a tooth for a child. Now, I guess she had 111 kids, till 1-1 and 110 and 100 again. Oh me and oh ye, which means, oh me, oh ye means oh dear, German for oh dear. Cadet and prim, the hung gray and angreen. And if she's older now than her teeth, she has hair that is younger than thine, my dear. It has caddy and primus in there. Proverb, a hungry man, an angry man, and thine. Any other points?
Nothing yet.
You will notice that as he describes these people, they're always mixed in with media. They are people, they are media. You know, humans, this is where McLuhan is translating it. Media are extensions of the human, of the man. And it's in his descriptions. So you have your Steplojezima Sunday. Line 16. Tepelogesima.
Almost like dancing to music.
Beg your pardon?
Dancing. It's like dancing to music, like jazz. Stepping to
right,
jazz.
Right. Dola means alone. Puka means hobgoblin. And then there's characters from chess. Steeplechase. Steeplejazzima has steeple on Sunday, steeplechase. And pilota is a Basque game. That's just below steeplejazzima. So sola is in italics, and that means alone. So she is very alone. Typical of a god or goddess.
Steeplejazzima is also third Sunday before Lent.
Is that right? The actual word? Is that what it means?
The spelling, correct spelling is S-E-P-T-U-A-G-E-S-I-M-A.
Right.
So it's a play on that word.
So here you have all those meanings in one word. So what is the sentence, a whole string of words, got to do with all the meanings in that? So you've got the general scanning left to right when you read, looking for a univocal meaning, but each word has many stories within it.
But is it Catholic?
What?
Is it Catholic based?
No. There's every religion is in there. Egyptian Book of the Dead, Tibetan Book of the Dead, everything is. You have to realize every cultural item of all the cultures in the world are in this book. So you can't, if you, people like to say English is the main language. It's got the most majority readable English words. But that can be just an effect. Joyce understands why English dominates, you know, patriarchal empire. But when you actually look to there's more meanings in one word, and it's a word from many languages, than a sentence that has an English meaning, a general univocal over thing. So actually, English is not the ground of it. Because there's sections where little syllables are communicating, not complete words.
Yeah, I was just looking at one of those in page 101.
Say it again?
In green. Bottom of page 101.
Right, Nan Green.
That's angry plus E-A-N in an Irish, I guess that means water. So
right.
It's an example of how somebody interpreted it anyway with different languages. The long word steplojazzima in this interpretation, it's Russian for warm winter. Zima, Z-I-M-A it says. Russian.
Right, so Joyce taught languages when he was young, so he knew philology and etymology, and so he's making fun of the research of finding the roots of language. And he's saying, well, there's a different beginning, if there was a beginning, than the normal knowledge of, you know, European languages coming from Indo, is it Indo-European? The India? We're supposed to come in normal philology over there in India.
Oh, okay.
You know about that? Indo-European roots,
mm-hmm.
Indo-Sanskrit, whatever it is. This includes the ion point that there's no beginning and no ending. So it can make fun of any thought form that tries to say something began somewhere.
Yeah, E-I-E-I-O.
Right. But, you know, when you think of the images people get in their Black Mirror, and they usually sub-vocalize an image, I mean rapidly. So all the sub-vocalizations that someone is saying to themselves, registering all the imagery they're experiencing as they scan through their Black Mirror, they have a mind like a page of Phineas Wake. All these, like, transient thoughts.
Sure.
So it's very good the way I unpicked this page, because the next paragraph says, weary weenie white, plead for more and more. Notre Dame de la Ville, mercy of thy bomb heartsy heat. O Graudinx, beyond her batted teeth, wart of the drogus, balkum no balkus, and let him rest, thou wayfarer, and take no grace foil from him, neither mar his mound. The bane of Tut is on it, and they discovered Tutankhamun in 1922. The bane of Tut is on it. Where? But there's a little lady waiting, and her name is ALP. There? She's named. So this is appropriate that I am picked. This is the next logical page, talking about the woman and naming her. And you'll agree, she must be she, for her holding higher heaps, hanging down her back. He spent his strength amuck harem scarums, Poppy Narancy, Gialia, Clora, Marinka, Aniline, Parmi, and Ilka, those dames had her rainbow humors, yet for Wilka her worms, but he coined a cure. Tiff, tiff, today, kissy, kissy, today, an age-long pine to Morina. Then who but crippled with children would speak up for dropping with sweat? So, you know, she's crippled with children, and she would defend HCE. And then this could be a... What?
Well, I said you got that from that.
Yeah, you see the words?
No, I'm just... Man, you guys are so advanced.
No, but wait a minute. Look, it just says, it's capitalized. Then who but capitalized, crippled with children. That's her. She had 111 children. Who but her would speak up for dropping with sweat, capitalized. That's him, working. HCE. And then it says in a song, sold him her lease of 99990, tresses, undresses, so die, dainty, goo, the groot gudgeon, gulped it all. Who was the COD, cash on delivery? Bum. So someone interrupts this song to HCE and calls him a bum. And then, at Island Bridge, she met her tide, at a bomb, boom. The Finn had a flux and his Ebba a ride. At a bomb, boom. We're all up to the years in Hughes and Crybees. That's what she's done for we. And then, whoa. Someone said, well, it's actually, you know, years of woe. Then, Joyce writes, Nomad may roam with Nabok, but let Naaman, and we've done Naaman with Ion. Nomad may roam with Nabok, but let's see if they say Naaman in the notes.
So she was a country or a land?
Yes, she's those things too. And Naaman was cured of leprosy in Jordan. I remember Ion talking about that. 2 Kings 5:14. So Nomad may roam with Nabok, but let Naaman laugh at Jordan. And he was in Jordan. He laughed, probably because he got cured of leprosy. For we have taken our sheet upon her stones, where we have hanged our hearts in her trees, and we list as she bids us by the waters of Babylon. And then the next chapter is a whole chapter describing Anna Livia Plurabelle, which starts off in the name of Anna the All-Maisable, the Ever-Living, the Bringer of Plurabilities. Hallowed be her eve, her sing-time sung, her will be run, unhemmed as it is uneven. That's the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is, made into COVID.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, pretty neat. And then it says, her untitled manifesta, memorializing the Most Highest. Remember, Finney's Wake was not titled when it was being written, has gone by many names at disjointed times. And then it lists for several pages, 100 million titles for the thing, for her letter that she's going to write to save his reputation. But back at the last thing of the previous chapter, for we have taken our sheet upon her stones. We have been extensions of her because she was an extension of Adam. Adam was, the rib. So she's the first extension, first technology. And then all our stuff comes from her.
But he considered her part of the land.
Yes, he's actually a mountain and she's a river.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now look at this. You take HCE and attach that to ALP, and you get chapel. Wow. And that's the name of the place they lived in, the section of Dublin called Chapelizod. That's where the church was called, it's in the first line. I think it's
called Adam. That's where chapel comes from. You go and pray.
Yes, chapel. The first line is River Run in the book. River Run, so that's her, past Eve and Adams. It's not Adam and Eve's. The apostrophe S is after Adam. So past Eve and Adams, maybe Adam owns Eve, from swerve of shore to bend of bay, brings us by a commodious vicus of recirculation back to House Castle and environs. And environs. So it begins with ALP, but House Castle is an actual castle in Dublin that's on a big hill. So you get the river and the mountain. Or McLuhan said that every line that Joyce wrote had stone and water in them. So river, A-A-L-P, and stone, the mountain, A-C-E. So stone. It's a deep alchemy.
Stone is always the first, and then water comes behind.
Yes. Who says that? Your guys?
Yep.
What happens to air and earth and fire in your
mythology? When you get solid stone and you add water to the rocks in prayer, it becomes steam and that becomes the air. So that'd be third.
Yeah.
And then
fire.
Yeah, fire, all that shit.
Well, what did you add to the? You took water and added it to the mountain, or the stone, and that became steam?
Stone first. You heat up the stone, and then you add the water, it becomes steam.
Right.
And then it becomes air.
Air. That's like a sweat lodge.
Yes, exactly.
But you have the fire to heat up the water to put on the rock. Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
Fire and the water on the rock makes steam, which becomes air.
And the rock is earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that becomes the dialectic of Greek philosophy. Is the ground of being an absolute motionless something, that'd be the rock, or is it constant motion, and that would be the river? So you have the interplay of two forms that Greek visual culture separated into two, you know, endless arguments about is the ground motion or is it silence or stillness?
Well, they always say land and sea is something different, like Admiral Law is something totally different from Tokala Law. Law of land is different from Admiral Law.
Yeah, Ayn's talked a lot about that. So the forms of nature are metaphors of processes. Is a person, is there a solid billiard ball, citadel of consciousness at the core of a human? Or is the human just a thing that adjusts to whatever the environment is? And there's no core to it. And society's always arguing over how much solidity is in a person and how much is changeability. You know, they get mad because the stone people don't change and the river people change too much. That's what, you know, that's Democrats versus Republicans.
It's that influential stage of when you come of breathing water until you're, 6 years old? Like Ion said, whoever they is, influences your out of the breathing water until you breathe and walk and talk about 6 years old, like third grade.
Right.
But until you're third grade, you're influenced by a structured government. Or something.
Your parents, your immediate environment.
Yeah. Whatever the norm is.
Yeah. So the elements, or stone, water, fire, and air are symbolic of processes. And then media is second nature. Television at the beginning was like a rock, just sat there with all this content. Speech is like a river. So the media are updated images of the symbolism in nature.
Yeah, kids are watching. Kids are watching TV at what, 2 years old, and comprehending.
Well, mimicking. They might be alive in the womb and taking it in.
Oh yeah, true. Wow.
They're hearing voices. They're hearing music. They're hearing all kinds of things in the environment. Okay, so is Ian one? Has Ian said any? Wants to say anything? Does anybody want to say anything? We can wrap it up. We did a really good session. Any concluding point, Ian?
I wanted to ask Ian if that vaccine that came out is going to mess with the Native American DNA.
Well, you can ask him. I don't know if he's going to answer.
He might not. He could think about
it for a
while.
Later. He'll be back later. Okay, so anybody got any?
I just have one question, but it's not on page 102, so... Page 142, the answer to number 7, it says the Morpheus. Is that the mafioso, you think?
No, it's generally, this is the citizens as a jury, but they're asleep. It's the unconscious, you know, social reality. It's social mortar. It's sleepy language institutions. See, the question, who are those component partners of our society? The doorboy, the cleaner, the soldier, the crook, all these people who had functions and are their functions, condoned every evil by practical justification and condemn any good to its own gratification, who are ruled, roped, duped, and driven by those Newman demons or diamonds, the fee keepers at their laws, nightly consternation, fortnightly fornication, monthly misericordation, and omni-annual recreation, Doyles when they deliberate, but Sullivans when they are swordsed, Matey, Teddy, Simon, Jorn, Peddler, Andy, Barty, Philly, James E. Moore and Tom, Matt and Jake McCarty. You see, there's 12 people. That's the jury. The Morpheus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look up Morpheus, that's got Morpheus in it. Let's see. That's what I call the next generation, the Morpheus generation in 1990. And 142. Murphy, and any Irishman is a Murphy. Morpheus is the god of sleep.
Okay.
And then, how were your Maggies? Is the group of women around Issy?
Mm-hmm.
The gossiping Ionauts, most of whom are women.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. I may have gotten the idea of calling these kids Morpheus from this page. You know, I looked at the wake so much. Mm-hmm. It would have triggered something. I would have learned that Morpheus was the god of sleep from this page in the annotations. So, isn't that wonderful?
Is Morpheus like Leonidas?
What?
Is Morpheus like Leonidas, the Greek god?
I don't know. What is he a god of?
I don't know. I just know that when the kids weren't fucking up to par, he chucked him off the edge.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound like Morpheus, god of sleep.
Well, it sounds like you, though.
Yes. You mean Morpheus or Leonidas? Leonidas? Are you saying I'm like Leonidas?
You said you're the king.
I'm asking you, what did you mean? You just said, sounds like you. Just give me a simple answer. What am I referred to?
You could be Leonidas, because you chuck people off the edge if they ain't up to par.
Right. Now, when Robert Guffey saw the Matrix, Part 1, on April 19th, 1999, he knew about the Morpheus generation, and so the main character is Morpheus. Isn't that the black guy, Morpheus? Isn't that what he's called?
Yeah, in the Matrix.
In the Matrix.
Hey, you know, blew his mind. The head of the thing was Morpheus, and he knew that word from my Up the Orphigani Manifesto from 1995.
And his whole job was looking for the one to save everything.
To wake up from the social sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Go ahead.
No, I said it was like a year ago when you told me to wake up.
No, I tell people to get back to sleep.
Right.
Yeah. We're on our way back. We don't need to wake up anymore. We're on our way back home, so we just can fall asleep. Like you lazy fucks.
Slack.
Yeah, total slack. Okay, so...
just one more sentence, Bob. I was looking where you were reading, and I came across the bottom of page 100, and it's in parentheses. The gravitational pull perceived by certain fixed residents and the capture of uncertain comets chance drifting through our system, suggesting an authenticitatum of his aliquitudinous. And then it ends, the canonicity of his existence as a tesseract. And
right.
I was reading, when you talked about the physics built into this book, that's the sentence I was reading.
Right. He says, the whole paragraph, wherefore let it hardly by any being thinking be said, either or thought, that the prisoner of that sacred edifice, were he an Ivor the Boneless or an Olaf the Hyde, was at his best a one-stone parable, a rude breathing on the board of to be, a venter hearing his own box speech in backwards, or more strictly, but tristerned initials, the clue key. McLuhan used to like this line. The clue key to a world room beyond the room world. There's a spinning world under the global theater conditions. The clue key to a world room beyond the room world. And he offered a key. Stop making noise. They offered a key to the global theater, McLuhan, in the 60s. He offered a clue key. For scarce one or pathetically few of his Dode Canal salmon livers cared seriously or for long to doubt with Kurt Ould von Jeeke, in brackets, the gravitational pull perceived by certain fixed residents and the capture of uncertain comets chance drifting through our system, suggesting an authenticatum of his aliquitudinous. The canonicity, you know how Ian Calls talks use the word canonization or canticle. The canonicity of his existence as a tesseract. So there's HC is a geometry phenomenon. Be still, oh quick. Speak him dumb. Hush, ye friends of Ulma. And then above, the next page, dispersal women wondered, was she fast? And they want to know, now this, then it says, do tell us all about. That's how next chapter, it says, tell us all about Anne Levy Purbell. So that's the echo of the beginning of it. Do tell us all about, as we want to hear all about, Dr. Dean.
And I can just hear the parallel from the clue key to a world room beyond the room world. That's Bob sitting on the mantelpiece looking through the keyhole. You know,
right.
It's
and
the real
looking
world.
At the Baroque, Orphic Baroque spirals.
Yes. Yes, in the room world.
Right. And you look at world, it's whirling. Whirling.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's time for Bert and Carolyn. Thank you very much. A very good session of Finnegan's Wake.
Thank you, Bob.
Respect it. It's awesomeness. And thank you, Ion, for all that contribution.
Thank you, Ion.
Thank you, Ion.
That was fun.
Yeah.